encara per la dreta per Xavi, la centrada de Xavi per Messi, la rematada de cap, gol!
Ha marcat Messi,
és pel Carles. Vinga, agafa la Carles, ben amunt, Carles, que també som campions d'Europa. Ben amunt, capità, que també som campions d'Europa. Ho hem guanyat tot, saperes, quan confeti, saperes, confeti a dojo a Roma.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Mad About Football here. We got a lively discussion going on about the implications from the UEFA Champions League, Manchester United, Barcelona, Spanish football, English football, size of the players, and I'm talking about height, not other stuff, and everything we could talk about here about the beautiful game. And Kevin was making a point before we went to break about the Ballon d'Or winners and how the English media is kind of boosting up their league to make it sound powerful. So go ahead and finish up on that point, Kevin, what you were saying.
And the Spanish contingent will get the party started just a wee bit early.
No, I was just saying you guys obviously aren't hearing that, so we're going to have some technical difficulties with some of the added sound. But
we heard it!
And I was like, oh, God. Yeah, go ahead. Bad, you can reach over and give Jonathan, you know, swing over to Jonathan. You know, give him a slug him once.
Sorry. And I can take...
No, you know what? You got to give Hannah mad props. She's been an awesome sport, man. And here with Hannah, with
real,
with Kevin Walker, with George, Brian Zygo. Are you awake?
Yep.
Oh, okay, cool, man. I thought you were snoring, dude. I heard you snoring there a couple of times, man.
No, that was just Gilbert.
Oh, okay. And Jonathan Starling, who happens to be sitting in his little throne in Jacksonville, just taking this all in, just saying, I told you so.
Coming back
and
from the Orange Park.
Coming back
Park
with
Ball.
Us, I guess, is Kartik Krishnayar.
Orange Park Ball? Are you freaking kidding me? You're joking!
Oh, my bad. The Jacksonville landing. I'm sorry.
Oh, God, that's worse.
Anyway, so we...
Somebody's been to a few too many Florida-Georgia games, it sounds like.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, so we were talking about... So what were we talking about? Yeah, the media, the British. Go ahead, Cardick. What do you have to say? Actually, you wanted your 2 minutes. You got your 2 minutes. Shoot.
Okay. Thank you, Juan. You know, we've been inundated with this stuff now for about 15 years, quite frankly, because I've been following the Premier League. I've been a Man City supporter in the late 80s, early 90s. We've been inundated with this stuff about this league being this kind of super league. And two of the best players in the league, actually, 10, 15 years ago, were two French players, Cantona, Ginola, that were not on their national team. We're not on the French national team. And, of course, France went on to win the World Cup, win the Euros. But we've been inundated with this thing that the best players and the best football and the only style of real football is played, or the only brand of exciting football is played in one particular domestic league in the world. And because of the use of the English language, because all the information is in English and people in this country and in Canada read in English, and in Asia, if they know a European language, it's English. There's been this myth that's been propagated about the English Premier League. And because the British have a kind of an inferiority complex, or a kind of a national, they have a national psychological need to be on top, a national psychological need to conquer. And, you know, I feel bad for them. They've lost their empire. there's a psychological void in the country. This is how they conquer. They conquer through Liverpool Football Club. They conquer through Manchester United Football Club. They conquer through Arsenal Football Club. And that's been kind of the hubris of the media. Now, a lot of English fans are not that way. A lot of the fans, the most delightful fans in the world, a lot of them are in the British Isles. The Scottish fans are the best. They're the best football fans on the planet, in my opinion, Scottish fans. And English fans, a lot of English fans are great too. But it's the media on Fleet Street in London that is pushing this agenda. And then it also is big bucks in their pocket. And it's all a fraud. Because the English national team, any time with this team completely composed of players from the Premiership, are forced to compete in a major tournament, they don't get the job done. Italy wins the World Cup. They have no Premier League players on their team. Brazil, when they won the World Cup in 2002, had one Premier League player on their team. And so you can't say it's the best league in the world by any stretch of the imagination. There's one style of football. It may be a more exciting brand of football that's played in the Premier League. You can make that argument. I happen to think the Bundesliga is the most exciting league in the world, but that's my opinion. It may be the most exciting brand of football, the most recognizable brand of football, but it's not the only brand of football, and it's not necessarily the best brand of football.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
I think. No, I was just going to say, over the last couple of years, the British fans have really, the British media has, you know, their head has been just getting blown up bigger and bigger because of the English clubs and how they've advanced to the Champions League. And okay, that's well and good. But the fact is, if you look at the other competitions, the UEFA Cup, they haven't done jack.
They've been embarrassed with the UEFA Cup, these English teams.
Yeah, I mean, two Russian teams have won it. CSKA and Moscow, and then Zenit St. Petersburg. You have Ukrainian team. You had Sevilla back-to-back, you know. I mean,
well, that talks about the depth of their league. I mean, their league doesn't go beyond the top four teams. And then, additionally, let's just look at this last week in football in Europe, in major European leagues. Every team in England facing relegation lost. Every team in Germany either drew or won. Every team in Spain, you know, both teams won. Osasuna now still needs a result to get out of the relegation zone this week against Real Madrid. Italy, there's been those teams have played better or showed some urgency at the end of the year. It's only in England where every team in the relegation zone has lost because they are so totally overmatched.
Right.
You know, I was curious to find out a different perspective. Hannah.
Yes.
And you write, you know, you're a Manchester United fan to the core, yet you write, you know, you obviously cover Spain and Italy. For football. Where do you see this whole, I mean, what Cardick's saying, what we're talking about. I mean, what's your take?
Well, I have to thank the English media for actually getting me into football first off. Because mm-hmm. Manchester United was the first team I was able to see on television here in the United States. So that's why I became a Manchester United fan. But then as my eyes, you know, opened up, oh, wow, there's leagues other places. You know, I fell in love with AC Milan. I mean, I will always be thankful that, you know, I saw Manchester United, some of my favorite players, you know, Ryan Giggs, found him through the English media because of, you know, the English connection, you know? So, but, you know, Mondo and I, and Eliza, when we set up Forza Football, the reason we decided to talk about Spain and Italy was because no one else is doing it in English. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere, what, a handful of, like, online blogs are talking about it in English? I mean, that's not enough news for people that really like the sport, care about the sport. Their teams are there. They might not read Spanish or Italian. I don't read Spanish or Italian. Mondo reads Spanish. Gene reads Italian. I'm working on the Italian part. But, you know, it's opened my eyes to a lot, you know, a lot more clubs, a lot more culture, definitely. And, I mean, I would have to say this season, I watched more Serie A than I did the English Premier League, and we get more English Premier League games, as you know, here in the States. Mm-hmm. But I chose, instead of watching those games. Okay. Go ahead, Cardick.
Oh, I was just going to say, I wanted Juan not to say that Hannah's the only English Premier League club fan on this call.
Oh, no, but club. I wanted to get her to.
My favorite football club in the world that's been my club for 20 years since I saw them play in a friendly here in South Florida is Manchester City. That's the club I live for. That's the club I die for. I don't have another favorite club in any other league, including MLS or domestic league, because my team was contracted. So I am kind of an EPL fan. But I'm just giving you my perspective.
My perspective was from an EPL fan that covers other leagues as well. So, well, I mean, leagues like Italy and
Spain. Yeah. And go ahead, Hannah. I thought you were done. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's fine.
It's okay. We talk about Italy and Spain, and as covering it, it's definitely a different perspective you get than you do get from the English media reading the Italian paper, the Spanish paper. I mean, you know, even though I have to translate it, some gets lost in the translation, but it's still a very different experience than reading, going on to, say, like The Guardian or to onto BBC and reading about the English game. It's very different, and they talk about their game differently than the English do. And it's, you know, I agree a lot with what Kardik says about the English press, but at the same time, like I said before, it is their job to make it their league sound like the most important league, because the majority, they don't care about what so-and-so is doing at Bayern Munich in Germany, or what anyone's doing at PSG or Milan or, you know, at Villarreal. They don't care.
Is that a love of the game or a love of the league?
I think it's a love of the league, the pride to be,
That's my point. That's my point, though, you see? That's my point, because we get spoon-fed this stuff that says England created the game itself, or at least the modern game. And yet what you're getting from the British press is a salute to the British league, to the English league. And perhaps they should start thinking that a large part of that populace does care about leagues outside of England. They're not so Anglo-centric. Okay, another thing, I wanted to ask Kardik this question. Why is it that the media... I have the impression that the American media, the sports coverage that we get on this beautiful game on this side of the water in North America, seems to embrace the British press perspective. Is that true?
Well, in the United States?
Right. Like, I mean, couldn't they be concentrating on some of the other leagues, you know, at least?
Well,
I think they don't speak that language.
That's part of it. And I think another thing, too, you got the language. I mean, the history of just the cultural history of North America, is so tight with England. You know, I mean, when you watch a movie, just for example, a movie, and it doesn't even have to be a period piece. It could be any kind of movie where someone has to speak distinguished, and they speak with a British accent.
There was a movie that we saw the other day, The Little Boy in the Red Pajamas or something like that. It was about a Nazi general, and he spoke with a British accent.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's the cultural connection that America has with England. But one of the bad connections also. What the hell was that?
Speaking of bad connections.
But one of the bad things that you kind of see in common is that xenophobia. America has a xenophobic tendency, just like England does.
Yeah.
And so in America we have a culture that is not exactly very respectful to immigrants. Let's be real, okay? And England maybe has that same thing with its league, with the EPL. You hear that a lot about having a minimum of British players on every team and all that stuff. So I think what has to happen is, I hate to kind of go with this kind of the minority thing, but maybe we as the minorities who like the Italian league, Spanish league, we just have to be more aggressive, be more pervasive, get into positions, and enforce the issue when it comes to doing.
Well, hold on, George. I don't think we're going down the minority road anymore, because when you look at a team like Arsenal, you know, when you look at where a lot of the new talent comes from, whether it's the African continent or South America, and everybody that's going over to the European leagues that are going there, they're really not a minority. It's that whole question really is about protecting the national team's identity to play at the World Cup level. And the argument, of course, is we need our players that are going to be playing on that team playing in the Premier Leagues, and if a large chunk of it is really being placed, the placements are being taken up by the foreign players from South America, from Central America, from Africa, and so on, then they're not going to get – they're not going to – they basically are saying we're not going to achieve our goals. We're just not going to have the ability to have those players, those high-caliber players playing at that level ready for world competition.
What I was going to say was that
part of this is also because England has had so many failings at the international level. They've consistently lost to Germany in big games. They've consistently lost to Italy in big games. Spain, they really haven't consistently lost to. They've beaten Spain as much as they've lost to Spain, but really with Germany and Italy, and that's why those two leagues were the two leagues that had been put down for years. La Liga, in fact, has a following in the UK, has a following in England, but the German league, the Bundesliga, and Serie A in particular have been kicked around in the English press because then they want to see their teams beat the teams from those countries.
Right.
No, what I was trying to say is that in America, in a lot of ways, still mimics England in many different aspects of life.
Oh, yes.
And one of the ways is the football coverage. And I think that's where us, the people who like La Liga or Serie A, that's where we have to, step up and continue to just, get that information out there. I mean, we all like the EPL, too. If you're a football fan, you have to love the EPL. The EPL plays great ball. But it's not the only place that plays great ball. And to take it kind of where Juan and Mike would go, Europe isn't the only place that plays great football either. You got to start looking at South America. You got to look at CONCACAF, Africa, places like that. So, we have to start making people's aware of football all around the world.
I don't think we have to make them aware. I think they are already aware. I think there's all of us talking here tonight is testament to this, that there's already a well-established grassroots movement where people want to have, in the land of opportunity, like North America has been. I'm speaking as a Canadian, obviously, but you always hear all dreams come true in America. And, today we turn on our TV, we've got over 100 channels. What is it? 300 channels. Why the heck are they sticking to this, let's give maximum coverage to the EPL? I already believe that there's enough people in this country, in my country, in you guys south of me that are willing, that want to see better coverage of the leagues that they are truly watching, whether it be La Liga, Bundesliga, Serie A, and so on. So it's just not happening though, and it's sort of funny because I always view you guys south of the border as the rebels who I'm the loyalist. Canada's the loyalist country. America is the American Revolution. You guys are, up the British. And yet, you're kind of like the EPL has been placed on a pedestal in football circles in North America.
And I'll even go one further on the whole Premier League coverage thing. And it goes to the Champions League final again today. How fast did it seem like ESPN wanted to get off air because Manchester United didn't win the Champions League? And I think that was the main reason why they tried to cut out as quickly as possible.
Yeah, no, you guys are right. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. And I mentioned this before we even got on the air, the fact that I thought I was going crazy. I was like, man, it wasn't last year's Chelsea-Manchester game preceded by like an hour and change of nonstop post-game coverage?
Well, it wasn't even that. Last year's Champions League final ended up on the live edition of SportsCenter during the penalty shootout.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, to me...
Well, keep in mind, I think a lot of the people who watch football in this country take their inspiration from Britain. In general, in life, they are into British shows. They're into reading the British papers. As Kevin mentioned, there are a lot of people in this country who are rebels, but they are not they're not into football. That's the problem. They're into American sports, or they watch NASCAR, and they don't take their inspiration or their cue from the British at all. But unfortunately, they're not watching football.
but you know what? That's the beauty of what makes this conversation. We're all of us here. We're all rebels. We're all rebels because we're doing the opposite. We're going against the grain of what the mainstream soccer coverage is going on here in the U.S. I mean, we all take it to different directions, but we're all ending up in the same spot. You know, I mean, like Jonathan covers the Bundesliga and the Premiership. Cardiff covers MLS as well as the some Premiership and international play, CONCACAF, whatever. Ongol, Hannah and Mando with Forza Football, La Liga, Serie A. You know, us, we're covering, you know, La Liga, Serie A, South America, and whatever else is going on. I mean, that's what we have to do in order to get our leagues and try and drop some knowledge to these people. You know, and I was talking to a guy earlier in the week from Argentina. I was talking to him over the phone. And he was telling me, well, you know what? What was it that happened? They were talking about how the U.S. coverage here, or the U.S. press, as far as soccer is concerned, is looked at as a third world country. They're looked at, you know, they're looked down upon. And I think it's a complete shame because there's good, very good writers out there. There are very good people in the press. There are people like us that are trying to spread the word of, you know, the passion for the game here in the United States and in Canada to people outside of this continent. And I think it's a damn shame that that's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know? I mean, it's a damn shame, but I think to speak to that rebel spirit, to follow all these leagues that aren't, you know, mainstream or whatever, it speaks to the rebel spirit. And I think what the biggest problem as an American citizen, my biggest problem that I've had throughout my life is that there's just a closed-minded attitude to things that people are not familiar with, or to be more specific, foreign cultures, you know. In soccer, yeah. I mean, how many times have everybody, all of us, have heard, "Oh, you like soccer? Or foreigners play soccer. I can't understand soccer." You know, you always hear that kind of attitude, and hopefully, I think with the recent, you know, I mean, I'm going to put politics in here, but Barack Obama getting elected, now we're going to have possibly a Hispanic, a Latino Supreme Court justice. Things are changing. So maybe, you know, what we're doing is a little piece of a changing world, of the world getting smaller and people, you know, mixing more and learning more about other people's cultures. I know for a fact, myself, before I met Juan, I really didn't know anything about South American ball. Then I met Juan. I chilled with Mike. Mike was in school with me. We used to do a WVUM radio together. And I started getting into the South American leagues more often. You know, now part of it was because I'm a pervert and the women are hotter at the games. And you know, let's be real here. You know, you watch the game and then halftime you watch the booty and the titties. I'm sorry, Hannah. I got to put it like that. So. But, you know, you have to. Something has to grab you.
Oh, man.
The game.
I hear there's a new league for you. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah, the WPS. But you see, I'm past the point of looking at them for their looks. See, I've been.
No. There's another one. There's another one that I'm referring to. But we'll have to take another episode for that show.
By the way, I always tell anybody who doesn't support the WPS is an idiot, because I put it to people like this. If I don't have kids, but if I have a daughter and she ever wants to play professional, we have to make sure that league survives so that girls in America have the same dream to be pro athletes, just like guys, like little boys can. So
it's the football is really, really good if you watch the WPS. Yeah. And I made this point, and unfortunately it reflects poorly on MLS because the football is better in WPS than it is in MLS. I know I've caught a lot of hell for saying that, but that's the truth. Just a really good league.
Yeah.
But you know that's just part of the nature of the press. It's just a very, you know, male oriented, male centered type of society, if you want to call it that. Oh, you know, if it's, you know, It's the same, the heat that people say, you know, the WNBA has very good quality, but, you know, but it's not, it'll never be the NBA, or it completely sucks. It's like, oh, you know, God, it's still a real high-level league as well. I mean, come on.
There is some more tolerance in this country than some people give us credit for, because we're the pioneers in women's soccer, women's football. We're the ones who embraced the sport when everybody else around the world was saying, oh, you know, that's an American thing. And now they're catching on with women's football, and it's great. And WPS is going to be the leader in that.
Yeah. I mean, and
going to be the leading league.
They're doing it the right way as well. So, yeah.
It's
got a real bright future ahead.
There's, you know, getting, since I've got this beef with the English press, just wanted to raise one positive thing about what they're doing, because we're touching on all of these elements. What they did come out recently with, I think the BBC, they've got that night, Up All Night program that's on.
Yeah.
They recently had a show that was centered on the success of the WPS. Also, questioning why a club in Toronto is having sellouts every time they play. So as much as I'm down on the presentation of the beautiful game by the British press, hyping their own league, not talking enough about the other world leagues, or at least giving options in their own country to watch those leagues. For instance, Serie A could not be – the only time that Serie A actually got coverage this year was when David Beckham was playing for AC Milan in the Milan Scudetto. You do have to give them some credit, because they're actually leading North Americans when they decide to go out and say, let's start talking about the beautiful game again and not just our beautiful league. And they did that just recently on one of their broadcasts, Up All Night. So kudos to them for actually doing that. Now, I didn't listen to the whole program, so maybe it was a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but at least somebody over there saying, hey, why is there interest in Toronto of the game that we think is our game, and it's getting sellout crowds where we believe everybody plays baseball and basketball and American football?
Certain media outlets in the UK are better than others. The Guardian, I think, is quite good, quite frankly. I mean, and that's they're very balanced in their football coverage. And the BBC, certain elements, BBC Radio and BBC TV are balanced. But then if you get to the Times, they're not. The Sun's not. The Mirror's not. The Mail's not. So it depends, again, the media outlet there.
I mean, there's times that I'll check out the Sun, but not for soccer. So, well, God, we've talked quite a bit, man. Hey, so, gentlemen, ladies, it's been a pleasure. I mean, it's been awesome to have you here. Once again, thank you very much. Thank you to Kartik Krishna from MLS Talk. Kartik, real quick, shout out. What's going on with MLS Talk, or even the Kartik Report?
It's all U.S. national team for the next month, for all intents and purposes. I mean, we've got two massive qualifiers. The U.S. has never taken a point in a qualifier down in Costa Rica at Saprissa Stadium. Since Saprissa was built, the last time we got a point was in '85 at Alianese. We have not taken a point down there. We got that game next week. That's massive. Come home to play Honduras, who I think is the second-best team in CONCACAF right now. Amado Guevara is playing some incredible football for Toronto FC. And then we've got the Confederations Cup. Italy, Brazil, Egypt. And then we've got Mexico and Azteca after that. I mean, that's the focus. The MLS is great. I love WPS. I have a USL 1 team here in town. But the domestic leagues take the backseat for the next month.
Perfect. What about you, Mr. Almond Joy, Kevin Walker?
Well, we've got the last weekend in Serie A right now. Match day 38 is coming up, and it's going to see a close run down to the finish with Fiorentina and AC Milan facing off. Gilardino is going to be able to face his old club, and I'm sure it's going to be a very intense battle. People weren't expecting this to happen because Juventus is right there with Milan for second place. So if Fiorentina can pull something off, I think they're sitting on 68 points, Juventus on 71, AC Milan is on 71. And so there's really that jostle there for the second and third place positioning. We'll see what happens after this weekend. That's going to be key events. And of course, at the bottom of the table, it's pretty well decided. Two of the clubs that are on the bottom right now, Lecce and is it Regina Hanna? They're probably going. They're going down. and it's really going to be Bologna and Torino that are fighting to see who's going to stay up. So they also have some difficult matchups on the weekend.
Hanna, what about you with Forza Football? What's going on with your site?
Well, we changed our look of our site again. We do that quite often, but we're keeping
this one. You just want to keep us off guard, huh?
Yeah, of course. Okay. On your toes. Okay, so check out ForzaFootball.com. Like Kevin said, we have another week left in Serie A. There's another week left in La Liga. Not that much is going to change. But in Serie B, Parma and Bari look like they're coming up to Serie A next season, so that should be exciting. Parma bouncing right back from going down last season, so that's good. I'm kind of hoping Torino can pull off a stay up in Serie A. They this last game will definitely tell if they are going down or not. So hopefully they'll stay up, because Torino should be in Serie A always. But other than that, you know, we're recording tomorrow night. Show will be out on Friday. Check it out, and that's about it.
Okay, what about you, Mr. Brian Zygo from 1560 The Game in Houston, Texas?
Well, we're always on Monday nights at 8 Central Time here in Houston on 1560 The Game AM. If you're not in Houston, you can always listen to us online at 1560thegame.com or 1560.tv. On 1560.tv, we even have a video feed running. Yeah, and it changes up every week. We usually have a representative from the Dynamo in studio. We actually had a special last night and had a Craig Weibel in studio with us. One quick thing on the Serie A stuff, which I follow also, is Torino this weekend has Roma. Roma doesn't need to pick up any more points, so I'm kind of predicting a 3-2 win by Torino, and both of Roma's goals are coming from Totti.
Nice. I'm going to have to check that out with my bookie.
Quickly, for all of you, this question goes out to Hanna and to Kevin. Who do you think is going to go down in La Liga? I mean, I know there's two teams that are already going down, but there's one spot still, and I think three or four teams fighting for to avoid that last spot, one of them being Osasuna.
I think Osasuna are definitely going to go down.
But it
would help me if Sporting Gijón really went down, because I predicted that at the beginning of the season.
Gijón's always been this Jekyll and Hyde team. I mean, they've only drawn once this season, and they've had 23 losses. So it's 24, I think now, but 23, 24 losses. That's inconceivable in some other leagues. But you know, I don't know. I did the same thing you did earlier in the season, predicted they were going down quickly. What about you, Kev?
Well, I'm going to jump on the Sporting Gijón bandwagon and say I kind of like to see Osasuna stay up. And by the way, I just like to throw this out to some of the listeners that are listening. Check out Own Goal Network. I didn't give a plug for a site, so I'm going to give it for the hub. As I try to keep this Rebel affiliate association in order, we're actually doing these little 6-minute podcasts, which take a close focus on a particular issue in the beautiful game. And everybody's on board, and so you can go there and you'll be able to find Kardec Report Minute Plus 5 podcasts, the third half, and also stuff from myself and Mando doing the Mando Minute. So it's all there at owngoalnetwork.com.
Can I plug something?
Excellent. What about you, Mr. Jonathan Starling?
Well, quickly, since I know you guys like to talk South America, just a couple of the Copa Lib scores from tonight. Caracas and Grêmio drew 1-1, and Cruzeiro beat Sao Paulo 2-1.
That's a big one. That's a very big score. Big. Yeah. That's a big score.
And Sao Paulo hasn't won a game yet in the Brasileirão, so yeah, they could go down. Yeah, that could happen. Damn. I predicted Boca and Sao Paulo, and it's not going to happen. Damn.
But over on the third half, thethirdhalf.org, the third half podcast is finally, after everyone cried to me enough, I am going to bring it back this week. I am hoping to release it tomorrow. Kartik Krishnayer will be on the show, along with a new voice. His name is Jens. We will break down the Bundesliga season.
I also had some time out at the United States Adult Soccer Association World Cup U.S. Open Cup qualifying, and I have an interview with the commissioner of Region 3, which is the region for the Southeast, over the hell that it took to actually get these games in this past weekend, because after a week of nothing but rain in Northeast Florida, it was, let's just say, hell trying to get two teams qualified for the U.S. Open Cup.
Sweet. Sweet. Perfect. And now, for us here at Mad About Football, we'll get Peninsula League is done. We'll probably talk a little bit about Serie A. Obviously, the Argentine League is red hot right now with Lanús, Vélez Sarsfield, and Huracán in complete control of their own destinies as of right now. And, George, we're probably going to be doing a little bit of a preview for World Cup qualifiers with Mr. Greg Sika from CNNSI and Goal.com. What else are we going to talk about, George? Probably what, Confederations Cup, World Cup qualifiers. What else we got going on this summer, man? Well, he's speechless. He's trying to go over what's going on. But really, we're going to be going to talk about World Cup qualifiers. You know, Argentina, Colombia, Mexico has its final this weekend. Although I told Cardick, I said, hey, look, I don't care about Mexico. I care about the Champions League final. But we're going to be talking about all those leagues here on Mad About Football. So for my partner in crime, George Metellus, Miss Everything over at Forza Football, Hannah, Own Goal Network's Kevin Walker, 1560 The Game, Brian Zygo. I'm running out of breath here. The blogging badass from the third half, Jonathan Starling, Andres Cordero from Gold TV News, my boy El Presidente Mando, Carter Krishna, everybody, thank you very much, and thank you for existing. Peace.